Hi, good morning. Hilda Kennedy?
This is Hilda.
Hi, thank you for joining us today. How are you?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Pleasure to be on. It's a pleasure to have you back. This is part two of the two-part series on Show Me the SBA Money. SBA standing for Small Business Administration, and I'm the host, Gail Sylvia of SylviaGlobal.com. Hilda Kennedy is the founder and CEO of MPAC, and she will continue to pick up the discussion on how businesses can successfully access government money, but looking at the five C's. Can you take it from there, Hilda?
Sure. So what we talked about in our last session, we talked about what the five C's of credit are and how business owners can access capital and position themselves to access capital in the future by taking care of these five C's and getting their financial health in order. So the first C in the five C's of credit is character. And character is tied to two things. One, your credit and your credit score as provided by the reporting agencies. And two, character as it relates to if there have been any infractions or lawsuits or bankruptcies. Those are the kinds of things that character covers. As it relates to the credit score, what I tell people, especially with SBA, is that SBA is not necessarily a credit score lender. They're a cash flow lender, but your character in terms of credit is very important. So if someone has a credit score that's low, and from my perspective as a lender, low is in the 500 range and the low 600 range, that can be considered low. And what are the reasons for the credit score being in that range? Oftentimes, it's because someone has made a commitment to pay a creditor and they don't fulfill that commitment. And so they have multiple late payments. They may even have some charge-offs. They have some collections. Those are things that impact character because it says you will make a commitment to pay a creditor and then not fulfill that commitment. And so that becomes an issue for accessing capital. So if a potential borrower is in that category, I would suggest that the first thing you do is work on that C in credit, that character. And if there were some extenuating circumstances that caused those credit issues, then please be able to document it, explain it, and provide proof of why those issues happened.
So, Hilda, let me ask you a couple of questions. You know, since 2009, specifically, I'll just, you know, start here, there were kind of warnings, economic tsunami-type warnings forecasted slightly before then. But in 2009, the nation began a very intense economic downward spiral. And it affected lots of small business owners, and small being of various sizes. When a business owner or an employee who may have lost their job because a business went out of business, and they lost their home and they, you know, lost their source of income, and they're trying to rebound from well-documented national catastrophes, changing bank guidelines, how is that factored in, and are you seeing fewer or more applicants coming across your desk who have faced these types of real-life consequences? in this area of character and credit?
Absolutely. Very, very good question. In 2009, when everything plummeted and our doors almost shut, and because no one was seeking to access capital because they were just trying to stay alive, in 2010 and 2011, when we were looking at financial statements and credit histories, you could clearly see a pattern. Even people who had short sold their homes, some people had foreclosures in their on their credit report. And as an SBA lender, AMPAC CDC is a true advocate for business owners seeking to access capital. And in that advocacy role, we feel very strongly, not always popular, I must say, but we feel very strongly that SBA and the powers that be who ultimately write the check from SBA have to consider those kind of economic tsunamis. And so we have had several instances where our borrowers went through a short sale, and that short sale showed up on their credit. Or they went through a loan modification during that time, and that showed up on their credit. And we've had instances where SBA actually declined those loans, and we refused unequivocally to allow that to stand. And so we appeal those decisions on the basis that you just said. The nation is being impacted economically. Clearly in California, property values have shrunk, and people have gone through very difficult times. They've had to do a loan modification. In some instances, the banks have told them, oh, it's not going to affect your credit. Go on. By all means, do a loan modification. They followed that direction. It impacted their credit. It reduced their credit score. And in some of the instances with my borrowers, I submitted it, and SBA actually rejected it. And I said, you will not do this. And so the reason there are five C's in credit is because we just can't make a decision just on credit. We have to look at the client holistically, which is what I said to SBA and why we were successful in getting those loans funded. I just want to make this one point. What we did not see in those credit histories, though, was a consistent pattern. These individuals had a snapshot in time, clearly reflected around the economic tsunami time during the economic recession. Clearly, that was a snapshot in time, but did not reflect their history of payment. And we could document that as well. So
one of the frustrations for business owners is that if they don't have an advocate such as AMPAC CDC and a Hilda Kennedy accessible to them, they go through this process of banking or governmental bureaucracy, and it's already emotionally charged from the beginning because of the devastation of, you know, what's happened in the past, and maybe even the residual effects that continue to rebound or heal through that, those financial circumstances. So I'm going to venture out here to say there would be a wave of distrust and a lack of confidence in the government and in banking representatives to be as understanding as you're prescribing, you know, as you're presenting it. You know, how do we work around the character of the lending guidelines, you know, in terms of evaluating applicants' character?
That's a very good question. I think the best way to kind of get through that is know what they're looking for. And that's what we're talking about today and what we started talking about on Tuesday. Know what they're looking for. They're looking for the five C's of credit. Be able to have that conversation as a borrower, as a business owner, be able to have that conversation about yourself with confidence. My character, you can see what my credit score is. You can see my credit history. I do have this, and this is why that happened. Be able to explain it quickly without hesitation. Know what your capacity is to repay the loan. And don't shirk your responsibility. Know as much as the lender knows about the information that you're presenting to the lender. Don't allow them to ask you a question that you can't answer. And you're presenting your financial statements, and you're telling them, pull my credit, and you don't know anything about your credit. You're shocked when you get your credit report and it has collections and derogatories. That's a problem. So, no, go to free credit report and pull your credit report.
So you're saying do your homework and be prepared to face the dragon. So start by pulling your own credit report, knowing exactly what's on there, and being prepared with documentation to confirm, to respond to each of those less than attractive notations that would appear on a credit report.
Absolutely. And okay. I serve on the Council on Underserved Communities, this National Council for SBA, and Kathy Hughes is the chairperson, you know, of the council, and she is, of course, the founder of Radio One, the first publicly traded company in that industry by an African-American woman. And she tried to get a loan for her business, and she said that she tried, I think it was 39 times or more, to get a loan for her business before someone said yes. And in business, we know that you have to persevere. So you have to keep working it with the knowledge that you have until someone opens the door, until you find the right advocate. Sure.
Two questions. Until you find the right advocate, question number one, does someone have to be in California to do business with you?
My CDC covers the state of California. I have partnerships with CDCs and lenders across the country. So I have done transactions across the country because someone wanted us to work with them and be their advocate with the lender across the country. We don't market that, but we do that in instances where we can help. We've done deals where their headquarters are located in California and they're opening up new offices in other parts of the country, and we're able to assist in that as well.
Okay. The second question goes right to the example of what you said with Kathy Hughes and with being, you know, persistent and persevering. You know, going into business and staying in business is not for the weak and the weary. It requires an incredible amount of faith, and in addition to the faith wrapped in that, has to be tenacity, just sheer raw tenacity. You know, planning, being well informed, but still the processes are not necessarily as easy as people might assume it to be. Most people know Kathy Hughes or think of Kathy Hughes at the pinnacle of her success without realizing or understanding what it took for her to get to that place and to stay in that place. And it is this quality of just sheer perseverance despite reoccurring obstacles. So can you speak to the next C in these five C categories of.
Sure. The next B, and I couldn't agree with everything you said more, it is definitely not for the weak or the weary. And you definitely have to have determination. And I would suggest that that is the same in seeking to access capital. Well worth it. Well worth using OPM, other people's money, to grow your business, especially when you're taking it to the next level. But don't expect a quick fix. So the next C is capacity. What is your ability to repay the loan? That's a very important C. SBA wants to help new businesses get started. No question. And so in helping new businesses get started, they will accept cash flow projections. What is not acceptable is a cash flow projection based in space that's not grounded in reality. So if you are...
Give us an example here.
Say that again?
Yes, give us an example. You know,
sure. If you're starting a restaurant, and you're projecting, you're starting a burger restaurant, and you're projecting to make $1 million in the first year, I would suggest to you that that may not be based in reality. Why? Because when you do your projections, you're going to have to give enough details to let the lender know how many hamburgers and how many customers are you going to have to sell at what price to make $1 million a year. And if this is your first location, your only location, it is highly improbable from industry averages that you, in your first year of operation, are going to make $1 million. Otherwise, you're going to be charging a lot of money and you're going to have a lot of people coming into your burger joint. And the question that we're going to ask is, why are they going to pass up every other burger place to get to your burger place? Because it's so great?
What's an example
I think
of a
not.
Successful? Mm-hmm. What's an example of a successful application that has come before you? And let's use, you know, stay with the restaurant example. That has worked and how they approached it and were successful in accessing SBA financing.
I financed a restaurant that started, they already had an existing restaurant and they were opening their second location. So what they had on their side was some historical data in terms of how many customers they see. What is their price point in terms of a meal that is sold and how many customers are they going to serve in a given day? What's their peak? What's their valley in terms of times of the year? During the holidays, it may be extremely busy. During the summer months, they already know those are slow times for them. So they were able to factor those things in to give realistic projections. And there are some wonderful resources from the Small Business Administration with the Women's Business Centers, the Small Business Development Centers. They have a number of different free programs that an aspiring business owner can access because their tax dollars already pay for it, and they can help do those projections and compare them to industry averages so that it helps the potential borrower ground their projections in a realistic fashion because they're comparing to industry averages. And with those cash flow, I was just going to say one more thing. With those cash flow projections, that capacity is letting the lender know what's your ability to repay the loan. So when you're doing projections, you need to get to a break-even point, and then you need to get to a point where you're able to make some money. in the meantime, if you get a loan and you're projecting to make money within a year or a year and a half, and you get a loan, you have to show that you still have the capacity to repay the loan. So maybe you have a second job, maybe your spouse has a job, maybe you have some retirement that you've saved so that you can still repay the loan while you're building up your business and getting in a position to allow the business to repay the loan. That
so
capacity is important.
So this example is really targeting the startup business owner. And you made reference to the Women's Business Development Center, and I know that they offer a series of training sessions on, bridging that gap between theory and actual business plan, along with, guiding through transitions from employee to business owner, necessary tools to start and expand a business. Can you speak to the business owner who's listening that has been in business for a while, also may have in 2009 and forward faced some tough times, but now they're prepared to, or looking to be prepared to go to a new level themselves. Anything different in that scenario than what you just described for the startup business owner?
The primary difference, Gail, is that we're going to look at the historical data and do some underwriting analysis based on the historical data. If there was a plummet in 2009, 2010, a little recovery in 2011, we're going to take that into consideration, probably ask them to explain how did the recession specifically impact your business, looking at your financials, clearly your business was impacted, and then what's your recovery strategy? And we may ask for projections since there was this plummet and those few years of historical data. And in looking at those projections, the borrower might say, we believe we're going to get back to 2008 levels. Our competitors have gone out of business. We're able to take greater market share. We were able to weather the storm. And now we are primed to get back to our 2008 levels, and this is how we're going to do it. It's a lot easier with someone who has a historical track record.
Yeah. The next C?
Capital.
Yeah.
Personal investment and net worth. More than your pen to the paper, the borrower has to have some sweat in the game. So SBA makes that sweat in the game typically less than traditional lending. So if you're, say, buying a building, you're a seasoned business owner, you're buying a building, if you buy a building using SBA, you're only required to do 10% down. That's your capital investment. If you were just doing a conventional loan with a bank, you're doing 25 to 30% down. SBA tries to be very sensitive in this area, recognizing that small business owners really need to keep their capital, working capital, in their business. So they try and be sensitive with that down payment. Nevertheless, there is a required down payment. There is a required capital investment. And in a startup, some people often think that, well, if I needed a loan, if I had the money, I wouldn't get a loan. Well, the bank wants to know, the lender wants to know, you are as vested as they are. So if it's all their money and none of your money, it may be easier for you to walk away when it gets tough, and it will get tough. That's an important C.
The capital. Let's talk just for a moment. Just a general observation. I know that AMPAC CDC is really focused on trying to reach, making sure that you reach the underserved communities. And underserved could be, the services are available to everyone, but the underserved specifically, women, minority groups, veterans, and people with disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
if this is the demographics that is most in need of SBA services, where do you find leniency within the SBA or the banking guidelines to actually garner support if you fall in one of these, you know, these categories? Because this would be the very group that would have the reason for reaching out to them and having a focus on helping them is because most often, you know, quite candidly, let's say in the African-American community or the Hispanic community, you know, there's not a legacy of that's strong enough, you know, to know how to do this and to have all of the right pieces in place. And are you saying then around capital, then you've just got to just buckle down and save your money and save the money and save the money before you can get started? But at the same time, you're saying there's a track record that, you know, is going to be reviewed. I'm just trying to get this in focus.
Sure. That's a good question. And, Gail, honestly, we're saying you're going to have to buckle down and save. And I have to explain this often because I used to think prior to becoming an SBA lender that they had special programs for women and minorities and the underserved veterans. And there are special programs, special outreach programs to those groups to educate them about SBA resources. But when it comes to SBA requirements and underwriting standards, everything is an equal and level playing field. There's no distinction whatsoever, to be quite candid. There are public policy goals that SBA wants its partners to reach by reaching out to those groups, and they can access more capital, but they will also meet these 5 C's of credit in order to do that. You'll still have to do a down payment. You'll still have to have the credit. You'll still have to have collateral. You'll still have to have the capacity. Those things just are no different. And so the purpose of our efforts is to help these groups understand what's required and do hand-holding to get them prepared to meet the requirement. I'm pleased to say we've financed several people in those categories, and they did just that.
How long did it take? Mm-hmm. Yes.
To get them through the process?
Yes.
For many of my clients that are in those underserved categories, it was 30 to 45 days. I did have some that I had to fight for that took 60, 90, 120 days because it just took that long for me to advocate for them. Like the one example I gave about the short sale, this was a African-American female professional, a dentist, who had that situation. And it was just so ridiculous that SBA would have taken that approach on that transaction. But I was so grateful they reversed themselves because it was so compelling. And sometimes human error, people dismiss it. They just don't get it. Maybe they don't read it closely enough. But it's my job to make sure that they read it closely.
What about, Hilda, you know, and again, quite candidly, there are lots of people who, at least appearances, who appear to come to the United States from other countries and are able to set up shop, which would appear to the outsider as being very quickly and very successfully, and doing it oftentimes in and outside of the very communities and demographics that you're describing. Do you see that there's something different about those applications that we can learn from and those experiences that we're not aware of that could enhance another community or an individual's ability to succeed?
You know what, Gail? I really have watched this pattern. I remember a time where I got so many applications. I was financing deals for so many people who were not born in this country, and they were doing well. And a couple of things that I saw. Number one, by coming into this country, they had wealth from their other, from the country, their country of origin, and that propelled them into getting into business because they already had that financial foundation. And they also had pretty immaculate credit. They adhered to their agreement with their creditors.
To say, Hilda, that they had immaculate credit that was traceable and evaluated according to U.S. guidelines and, you know, U.S. Credit Bureau standards.
Absolutely.
Or some other form of credit in their own countries or with individuals or another system that they were performing on.
U.S. Credit Bureau, they had time under their belt. They weren't, although they were not born in this country, they had been in this country. They had worked really hard. They had saved. They did have support from their home country. And they had built a credit history that was credible. Sorry about that. That was credible.
And the lessons that we can learn from this sound, you know, seem to go back to what you said earlier in the conversation, and that is, you know, the discipline of just doing what needs to be done, you know, and understanding that there are no shortcuts, and that not when it comes to being in business, and nor are there when it comes to accessing financing from the bank, whether it's SBA backed or not, that this element of credit is key, and it's directly linked to character and the ability to demonstrate capacity to pay back and explanation for why a creditor may or may not have been paid on time, and then having the capacity to actually perform, and then having the capital or the down payment that's required in order to put their, you know, the business owner's piece of their skin into the business game. So then there's collateral. How does the collateral piece work? Can you speak
to
that?
Yeah, the collateral is just straightforward, assets to secure the debt. The lender makes an assumption that there is a possibility that the loan will not be repaid. Something can happen, and the loan won't get repaid, but the lender has to be made whole. I need the collateral, and typically we're seeing, especially in today's market, a desire for a one-to-one collateral ratio. For every dollar that I loan you, I'd like to have a dollar in collateral. So if you're buying a building, then that is the collateral, and typically SBA is not requiring any other collateral. If you're getting working capital or you're for inventory or some other need, hiring employees, then they're going to look for some additional collateral. Perhaps the business assets are enough to be your collateral, and so they take a filing on the business assets. And sometimes they'll do that now and in the future so that if you add more assets to the business, the loan that they've made will be even stronger because you've added more business assets or added more inventory. That can be difficult for some
businesses, because if you need to get more capital and you're not going to use that lending institution, your business assets are taken up, you know, they're encumbered. So that's a negotiation point that a borrower should have in dialogue the borrower should have with the lender. But there is a need, there is a requirement for some collateral for any loan that's financed.
It could be personal collateral as well as business collateral.
That's correct. And so in California, since homes are upside down, that used to be a great secondary collateral source. Now it's not so great, so they're looking at other options. But some lenders are aggressive, and they'll take a third on the home, because what we're seeing is first and seconds on homes that are already upside down. And so if all other things look good, some lenders will take that as collateral.
Can you elaborate a little bit on that? How can you? What is there to collateralize if it's already upside down? You said the belief that the market's going to rebound?
Yeah, the belief that the market is going to rebound. You have other options as collateral, but in the abundance of caution, we'll just take the house and put a third on it as well, so that we can have something to hang our hat on.
Hmm.
And if it's a 10-year loan, then perhaps there will be a rebound, and maybe if something happens within the fifth year of my loan, maybe the market has rebounded enough such that there will be something for me at the end of loan one and two being paid off. Maybe, maybe not.
You describe that as a very aggressive position. What would be the incentive for a lender to put themselves in a third position on a property that's upside down? Is it because the buyer has come to the table with more than the minimum of cash down, or what's the incentive for that?
Very good point. That's one. They've come with more cash down. Their cash flow looks good. They've looked at the financials, and it's a fairly strong company. They like it. They want to make the deal work. They're going to do whatever they can. They know they have to have some additional collateral, though, because their lending institution is requiring that. Okay, how can I make this work? I'll throw in a third on a house.
So this would not be for the startup first-time business owner?
Highly unlikely, unless that startup business owner has plenty of cash, they have retirement, and they're taking this other collateral for an abundance of caution.
Mm-hmm. So they're bringing all their chips to the table, and they're stacked enough in the advantage, you know, to the position or advantage of the lender that it's worth the risk.
Right.
It minimizes their risk because the business owner is coming with substantial amounts of skin in the game in some form or fashion, and they have some degree of a high degree of confidence in the success of the business in order to position themselves that way.
Right. And that's an important message that the business owner sends. I believe so much in what I'm doing, I'm willing to put it all out there.
Right.
That says a lot to the lender. Wow, they're not going to walk. They've put it all in.
It's all in.
Let me give them a chance. Yeah, yeah.
What about
that's a
condition?
Huge message. In conditions, what we're talking about is simply the market conditions. Can the market bear what you're seeking to do? Whether it's an expansion of your existing business or whether it's a startup. In the example of an expansion, the market has plummeted
in what you've been doing so wonderfully over the years, the demand is not there. Technology has changed. I need to retool. Can I retool in such a way that I can meet a new need in the market with the technological advances that are there, using some of my old methodologies but creating some new? Because the market conditions say that what I've been doing doesn't work anymore. So those are things that we evaluate, and we look at some of the industry trends, we get industry reports, and we evaluate the market conditions. We also just look around, going back to the restaurant example.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Yeah, just quickly going back to the restaurant example. If four restaurants in the building that you want have failed, why will yours make it? It's a question we'll have to ask. Why isn't it working for everybody else, and you want the same building? What would make it work for you?
So speaking about conditions, and in order to arrive at an answer to that question, I want to go back to what banking guidelines have changed with the overall national economic conditions that have forced business owners to change? Or are the standards and expectations pretty much the same now as they were in 2007 and 2008?
I think we're seeing that coming back. In 2009 and 10, you probably wouldn't see a contractor being able to get a loan. Probably wouldn't see a hotel being able to get a loan. Restaurants were having big issues in that industry. So those market conditions, the reports and everything that we saw, the default rate said, don't lend to these areas. That's beginning to change. Still in construction, that's still a slow change, especially in Southern California, especially in the Inland Empire region of Southern California. That ship is turning slow. Some of the others are coming back, and lenders are more open.
Hilda, thank you so much for this information, the five C's of showing our business owners and listeners how to access successfully Small Business Administration, SBA money, being aware of credit, character, capacity, capital, collateral, and conditions. How would a listener get in touch with you if they want to follow up via email?
Well, I would certainly love to talk to the listeners, and I want to reemphasize we are an advocate for business owners seeking to utilize SBA. So my office phone number is 909-915-1706. Again, 909-915-1706. You can visit our website at www.tristatecdc.com. That's www.tristatecdc.com.
This information is also available on sylviaglobal.com, along with an available transcript of all of the details that have been provided by Hilda Kennedy. Thank you so much for joining me this morning, Hilda, and thank you, listeners, for listening to sylviaglobal.com via Blog Talk Radio. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too.